a babe when it cries for its mother. Like a child, I was helpless alone. Then I met the Master.
I thought about a lot of things while I was in the bed. Can't do anything. Can't move around. Can't walk around. And one of the things that struck me is the duties that we have as Christians. What should we be doing? And so Acts chapter 1, to start off with, Acts chapter 1. We find the disciples here all out there at Mount Olives with the resurrected Lord and Savior. He already died, he was buried, he rose again from the grave, and then he appeared unto his disciples. And now he was ready to return back to his heavenly Father up in heaven. And here they are gathered around. He gave them some last instructions, as you know, chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And he gave them those instructions before he left. But what an interesting time it would be for the apostles or the disciples, I guess we could call them at this point, disciples made up both of men and women here. And here they are with the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 9, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Imagine if you were back there at this time and this happened, all right? "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." You know, those two men were there at the grave site as well when he rose up from the grave. And we find the angels with the Lord Jesus Christ at very important times. And this is one of the important times. We refer to this event as the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here that the two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse 11, "which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey." Those are the verses I want you to see. Why stand ye gazing? Now, for the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ, things have been happening, just one thing after another. The arrest and the false accusations of their master, the Lord, and then his ultimate crucifixion on the cross. You imagine their thoughts about this. We know that they all fled from him at that time and left him alone. And what must have been going through their minds? This same Jesus who they saw walk on the water and heal people and teach them great things is now going up into heaven, just ascending right up out of their sight. And two men stood by in white apparel, I believe angelic beings there, said unto them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" What do you think? What do you think we're doing here? Our Savior, our Master, he's gone up from us, right up into heaven. Maybe they thought they were going to go up with him at that time. I don't know what would be going through their mind. I've often tried to just put myself into this situation here. And I don't think I would do anything different than these disciples are doing. Gazing up into heaven, wondering, is he going to drop back down here? Or what's he going to do? And why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. You know what? Their world was just turned upside down. Nothing would be the same for them from this time forward. Everything just turned around and upside down as far as they were concerned. And they did not know what to do except to just stand there and keep looking up. There is a certain amount of lesson here for us that even while we're busy about our daily work, I think we ought to be looking for his return. I'm not saying that these men were doing anything wrong here, or I don't think even the Lord was saying it was sinful for what they were doing, but he just wanted them to understand that, you know what, we've got to go on from here. And they did not know what to do. And so these angelic beings said to them, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, is going to return in the same manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Amen. That's a promise that they can take with them from the Mount of Olives back to the city of Jerusalem and carry with them the rest of their life. What is? Our Savior's coming back. And from what we can see in the New Testament scriptures, the early church was constantly looking for the Lord to return. One of their favorite ways of saluting each other, either when they got together or they were leaving, was to use the word Maranatha. Maranatha means the Lord is coming. He's coming. And I don't think it would be a bad thing for all of us to get used to just saying on our way out, Maranatha. Or just say it right out in English. The Lord is coming. And I know that right now, as we look at our own country's political situation, we would like to think that we must be right at the very point of the Lord coming back for the church. My dad and I talk about this on the phone, and it almost always seems that our conversation will get to that point. Well, Gary, as we look at these things, he'll say to me, I think that the Lord's return has got to be right around the corner. And of course, we're seeing all these prophetic things that are taking place in that are mentioned in the Bible, prophecy things in the Bible taking place right on the main screen of our media every day. And I'll tell you what, the more that Russia keeps rattling their sabers and so forth, the more I think we ought to say, Maranatha, the Lord is coming. And the things that we see taking place over in the Middle East have never been seen like this before. And we're right there, I think, folks. And here are these men standing there that day, gazing up into heaven, wondering if he's going to return anytime soon. But apparently, it wasn't going to be anytime soon. And the Lord had already told them, I want you to go back to the city. And 10 days later, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and empower you to do the work so that you can be witnesses of me, not only but in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. So they must have known from that they have some work to do. And we're still trying to do that work today, are we not? I mean, that's what we're doing. We're trying to spread the good news of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to anyone who will listen to us. And we try to do that. At least I hope you're busy about that. I don't know about you, but every time I find myself in a conversation with someone, you know what's going on in the back of my mind? Are they saved or are they lost? Are they saved or are they lost? I find that to be in the back of my mind when I talk to just about anybody. What a joy it is at times to find someone who does know the Lord. And they speak out and they say who they're trusting in and so forth. That's just such a blessing. Oh, if they don't respond in that way, you know you have some work to do in order to be a witness to them. And not only in word, but in deed in front of them. And so I find here that these men gazing up into heaven are told, hey, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? He's coming back the same way you saw him go. And so in verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem, and they began the work, the great work, which they did, starting the New Testament church. And it would be starting in a few days later when that Holy Ghost would come upon them and empower them to go forth with the good news. And that's been going on ever since. Well, I would like to advise that there are four basic things to be done. There are four things that we need to do as Christians since the Lord has left and gone back to heaven. We have a job to do. Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. And take a look at this verse here. Luke 17, and take a look at verse 10, where the Lord is talking here. And he was exhorting his servants there that were around him. And in verse 10, he says, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Christian, I believe you and I have a duty to do. And that is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ until he does return like he did when he left. And I'm looking forward to that day. And I'm glad we have the account of how it happened there. I wasn't there, but I'm glad we have that account. I would think I'd stand up gazing up into heaven as well. But you know what? Eventually, guys, you got to get your head down. Look forward, and let's go on and serve the Lord. I think there's four things. First of all, you and your Bible, okay? You and your Bible. Number two, you and prayer. Number three, you and the assembly that you fellowship with. And number four, you and your witnessing. There are four things, I think, that are our main basic duties that we have as believers. And I'd like to give you two examples to follow for each of these duties. They would be, number one, the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then let's look at the early church. How did they do these things? And then I want to encourage you by giving you scripture, you need to do these things. So first of all, let's take a look at Jesus and the Bible. Go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. Oh, how we often take this passage and preach on the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ by the devil and everything. But what a great example the Lord is for you and for me to make sure that we know our Bible. We need to know our Bible backward and forward, okay? The longer you're saved, the more you should know your Bible. Jesus, in verse 4 of Luke, did I say Luke? What did I say? I said Luke. Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. After the devil tempted him to take those stones and make them into bread because he was hungry after 40 days of not eating. Verse 4, and Jesus answered him saying, "It is written," oh, how I like that, "it is written that man shall not live by bread alone." And if you don't have a King James Bible, the rest of the verse is gone. But if you do have a King James Bible, "but by every word of God." Boy, thank God that you know which Bible to use. How about that? "That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." How would you think that's a good idea to take that out of there? "But by every word of God." I don't know if you're still on the fence as to Bible versions. You need to get off the fence, all right? And you need to take your stand. And especially in these end times, take your stand for the old King James Bible. It's the only one in English that's faithful to the manuscripts handed down to us over the many centuries. It's the only one faithful to it. The rest are not. And as you can see, notice that they even want to take out, "but by every word of God." All right. Then you go down there to verse 8. So he showed them all the kingdoms of the world by taking them up on a high mountain. And in verse 8, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." By the way, only if you have a King James Bible does it say that. If you don't have a King James Bible, it goes like this, "For it is written." Oh, that little statement that Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, Jesus liked saying that. He said it to Peter also, if you remember. That's not an unusual thing for the Lord to say. I can hear some of these, the translators that want to get rid of the King James. Well, you know, we don't want to add anything to it that shouldn't be there. Well, the Lord was used to saying this. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Amen. There it is again. For it is written, the word of God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then go down to verse 12. And Jesus said this. Here's another time on the pinnacle of the temple. Cast yourself down, the devil said. The angels will come and take care of you. Verse 12. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said. Now, where is it said? It's said in the written word of God. It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's just one example of Jesus and his Bible. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke 4 verse 16, same chapter there. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to what? Read. He's going to read. What do you think he's going to read? I don't think it's going to be a magazine article or anything like that. They didn't even have that back then. The only thing that you can read is something that would be found in the synagogues. And what would be found there would be the word of God. And verse 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. You know what that tells me? He was used to reading the scriptures. And he knew where to find the scriptures, okay? When he had found the scriptures, amazing watching during sword drill time here, when I give a reference and people are just going back and forth in the Bible, they can't quite find where is Ezekiel, where is Zephaniah, where is Daniel, just having a hard time finding it. The Lord didn't have a hard time. He was used to it. He knew where to find it. And he found the scripture where it says, where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and onward it goes. What I find here is the reading of the scripture in the Nazareth synagogue was something Jesus was used to doing. Now, all of you tonight, I see all of you with your head down looking into the scripture. You all have your own copy of the Bible. And you know what I would say? Just as Jesus knew his Bible, so should you. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and go to verse 39, down to verse 39. Verse 39, the challenge from the Lord here to the men around him that didn't believe in him, didn't want to trust in him. Verse 39, Jesus said, search the scriptures. For in them think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Here the Lord Jesus Christ says you can search the scriptures, and you guys need to search the scriptures, he's telling them, because you're not finding what the scriptures are all about. They're all about me, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to them. And Moses wrote these things long time ago. When Jesus was here on this earth, what Moses wrote was already had been written down for hundreds of years. And these men had these scriptures. Many times they would, have you ever heard of the word phylactery? You know, they would roll up little pieces of scripture and put it in a little tiny box and with a string tie it around their forehead and walk around with this box on their forehead. And inside of it were scriptures. And the Lord challenges them and says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. To them, just carrying that around was kind of like a little a point with God, a good merit badge with God up in heaven. Look at me. I'm carrying the scripture around. I honor the scripture. The Lord said those scriptures talk about me. What a time it must have been for the Lord Jesus Christ when he lived here and walked among us to see this, to see these men walking around with the scriptures on their forehead for that example. There's other examples you can give as well for what they did way back then. Imagine him thinking, if they'd only open them up and see what I have shown them and what I have talked to them about, and they would read that and say, you know what? These scriptures point right to this man, Jesus. How Jesus must have felt as he saw their unbelief as they walked around with the very scriptures that talked about himself. How heartbreaking it must have been. Oh, how heartbreaking it must be for God to see us not spending time in the Word of God. Oh, we carry the Bible around. We bring it with us to church. But do we look at it? Do we ever read it just for ourselves? Luke chapter 16, if you would. Luke chapter 16. Now, these are all things that are about the life of Christ and everything, but I'm just bringing this out because I want you to see Jesus and the Bible. Because I want to challenge you and the Bible as well. Jesus and the Bible. Luke chapter 16, go drop all the way down to verse 27. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus went to heaven, the rich man went to hell. And the rich man wanted Abraham, who he could see afar off, who was in paradise, and he himself was in torment, to send Lazarus with just a dip, just a little drop of water to put on his tongue. And verse 27, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, and he's talking to Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Here's the rich man in hell wanting Abraham to send Lazarus to his own home up above on earth, that he might witness to his brothers so that they don't come here. And that's what he's going to say. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know what? Some of the best testimonies of evangelism you would ever get are from people who are in hell right now. I've often said if you could ever lift the manhole cover of hell, you would hear the screams come out of there. And I believe the screams would be, don't come here! Don't come here! Boy. Jesus is the truth. Well, how would you say that, Pastor? Because of what this guy's saying right here to Father Abraham. In verse 29, and Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now, who's talking here? Who's telling this? Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is saying these words. Verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. The rich man said, hey, if someone went back from the dead, they would repent. Send Lazarus back from the dead. Listen to this response, verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets. Now, how are they going to hear Moses and the prophets? They're all dead from their writings that they left behind. From the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures specifically here. He's saying if they hear not the Bible, okay, we could just say it that way. If they hear not what's written by Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. How about that? That's how Jesus felt about the Bible, that he knew very well. And he said, you know what? Lost men here on this earth won't listen. Even if one rose up from the dead, they will not listen. If they will not listen to the Bible, neither will they be persuaded with miracles and so forth. You know, that's why I don't believe in the modern day charismatic Pentecostal miracle doing ministries of our day. They say, oh, we got to do these things in order to get people to listen. And hey, if they won't listen to the word of God that's being preached, they won't believe even if someone rose up from the dead. And some of these groups actually have the audacity to say that they've even helped people get risen up from the dead, and I don't believe that for anything. And it's interesting. Jesus rose up from the dead. And they won't believe the scriptures, even though he rose up from the dead. Well, I don't believe that he rose. Well, a lot of other people do believe. Many have believed. And I believe he rose up from the dead. And I know one reason why. Because I'm a new man in Christ Jesus through having trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I rose spiritually from the dead, and I have new life in Christ. And I know it. And it's because of my Bible. How about the early church in the Bible? We must realize that people would not have easy access to copies of the Bible back in the early church days. They just didn't have them. The only way you could have them is if you were a very rich person. The example is given by the one I mentioned this morning, the Ethiopian eunuch. He probably paid a lot of money for the passages of scripture that he was reading in his chariot on the way home. Because the scriptures had to be handwritten. And it was done very meticulously in order to preserve every word that came out of the mouth of God. And so the only place you could get these would be in the local synagogues or the temple itself in Jerusalem. And you could get copied manuscripts of the New Testament. And it wasn't until Gutenberg comes along with the printing press that we were able to have many copies made up of the scriptures. And thank God for that invention. That's a great thing. I wonder, without giggling or anything, do you think our children are being taught about Gutenberg's printing press in our schools today? I doubt it. I doubt it very sincerely. And much of the scriptures would have to be put into memory in their minds. And I'm amazed as I go through the New Testament scriptures how much of the scriptures the people mentioned in the Bible and the preachers mentioned in the Bible must have had scriptures memorized in their minds, in their head. They must have had whole passages given to memory. How much do we know? Well, I'm going to tell you, I was really ashamed of myself so many times while I was in the hospital when I would have tests or whatever, and if it was a painful thing, which it seemed like every test they wanted to give me, it was agonizing, painful experience. And one of the things I tried to do in order to get my mind off the pain was to try to recite all the verses and all the passages I had given to memory. And I will have to say I was quite ashamed of myself, how little of scripture I have put to memory in my mind. And what a blessing it is to hear some of the preachers that I had here. Boy, some of those guys can just quote scripture right one right after another. What a blessing, huh? I think Matt Renzi was like that. Boy, he just rattled off verses of scripture. You wouldn't even have to go there. And, you know, you need scripture like that to back up what you're preaching. Another preacher who's like that, and you haven't heard him too often, but a very good friend of mine, Pastor Dave Mitchell, I'm telling you, that guy has a verse for everything. He must know many verses in the book of Proverbs. And I just respect him very highly for the amount of scripture that he has given to memory. In fact, when we were at his ordination service and the men, the councils who were questioning him and everything, one of the things that was mentioned after it was all done, everyone was given an opportunity to say something. One of the men said how blessed he was by hearing the amount of scripture that Brother Mitchell had given to memory and was able to rattle off scripture after scripture when he was asked a particular question about what he believed so that we could determine if he was a good preacher material. To me, I already knew that before we started. But wow, what a blessing it was to hear him just rattle off scripture. And so the early church, in order to read the scripture themselves, had to go through quite a difficult time just to get the Bible in order to read it for themselves alone. And you just imagine going into a room and on a table, there's a scroll of a particular Bible, book of the Bible. And if you wanted to read and study it, you'd probably have to wait in line until it was your turn. And then you would probably very quickly try to get as much of it into your mind as you possibly could. Because your time would be up and the next person would come in and now you had to go. That's why, go to Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 6. That's why they had to ordain, or I guess you could say, set apart some men to do the work in the church and allow the elders of the church to spend time studying the Word of God. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, now this is the early church, okay, in Jerusalem. It is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Serving tables would have reference to taking care of the people in the church and their various needs and so forth. And verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the what? Look at that. That's why they established the office of deacon in the church, so that the pastors... And I believe they had multiple elders in the church, not just one. I wish we could have more than one here. Right now, I'm the only one. But nevertheless, the elders in the church were relieved of this responsibility of taking care of all the situations going on in the church, people who needed help and so forth. These seven men were selected out, good, honest men, to do this work of taking care of the people in the church so that the elders could spend time in the Word of God. Look at verse 7. And the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. See how important the Word of God was to the early church? Once they were enabled their elders to spend time in the Word of God increased. And that has reference to the souls of men getting saved and turning from idolatry and, of course, from Judaism to Jesus Christ. And what a great time it must have been when these men could finally say, boy, I spent a whole day studying the Word of God. Thank God for those seven men who take care of the other things. I spent the whole day reading the Word of God. Boy, that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. And I can remember my first time in the hospital. It just seemed such a good time. I was reading the scriptures. I will have to admit to you, this last time I was in the hospital, I just had such a difficult time being able to really concentrate on the Word of God. The pain was such that seemed to be the only thing I could think about. And I'd be reading the Word of God, even to put the Bible on my leg hurt. And so I'd close it, put it aside, and I'll read it later. And next thing you know, the nighttime came and I haven't spent much time in the Word of God at all. And I felt terrible. But boy, before that time, I had opportunity to read God's Word and it was good. I had a good time. I know some of you came in during that time and I just was telling you all the scriptures and things that I had just read and got blessed by. Wow. The early church in the Bible, it was very precious to them. Acts chapter 17, if you would. The Bereans. You knew I'd have to go to them, didn't you? The Bereans in the early church. Chapter 17, and go to verse 10. I'll start reading. You get there. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Who was? The believers in Berea were more noble than the believers in Thessalonica. Why? Here's the reason. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. And verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. The word of God was doing its work and getting some people upset and saving other people. And the Bereans, just a little word, a little note of honor and commendation is given here to the Bereans in that they wouldn't receive anything they heard until they could search it out in the scriptures. And as a pastor of Ray Street Baptist Church, I would say to you, you need to do the same thing. When you hear preaching from the pulpit, you need to make sure it matches up with what is found in the Bible. And you need to search that out yourself. All right, Paul's preaching, Acts chapter 28. Paul's preaching, Acts 28 and verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. But notice how Paul preached about the things written by Moses and the prophets from morning till evening, folks. The word of God was being preached in the early New Testament church. And you know what? The early believers went to church because they were going to hear the word of God preached. Now, you all have Bibles, and you could sit at home and read it yourself these days. They didn't back in those days. If they wanted to hear anything out of the Bible, they had to go to the meetings and hear the preaching from those who had copies of the scriptures and who had the memory and had verses in their mind memorized. What a blessing it would be to them just sit there and listen to the scriptures being expounded unto them from morning till evening. Wow. What a blessing. Well, you and your Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to go just right through these verses here. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time commenting on them. They should be however you say that, explanatory, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, I believe that's the Bible being completed, then that which is in part, that would be the portions of Scripture, and then even the spiritual gifts being given, all those would be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. You know, when you get all the scriptures together, it helps you know yourself better. I know that someday we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll have the mind of Christ and everything. But the word of God is what helps you to understand yourself better than anything else. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Philippians 2 verse 16. It's amazing how people want to watch and look for miracles and everything, and they don't have much time for the word of God and to hear or even read the word of God. But oh, they had a miracle. It's amazing how often when I talk to people like that and I find out how little they know of the word of God. It's a sad thing. Oh, they know all about the miracle they just saw or had. And usually it's not a miracle anyway. A miracle is a supernatural event with divine intervention in it. And just because your toothache went away, that's not a miracle, okay? And you need to know your Bible better than that. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. That's what we need to do, you and your Bible. Hold forth the word of life. That's the word of God. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3:16. We're kind of going right on through the New Testament here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There you go. We got to let the word of God dwell in us, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You can bring that right up to today. We have Paul's writings, and we're to receive them as the word of God, not the word of men. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to what? Reading. Now back then, you might say, oh, okay, I can read all kinds of stuff. No, it has to be the word of God he's talking about here. I mean, there's nothing else available back in those days. They didn't have news magazine stores available in every corner. You go into the airport, get ready for an airline flight, and they got all kinds of stores to sell you magazines and books. So you can read it while you're on the plane. They didn't have that kind of thing then. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Let's see, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2:15, you know this, hopefully, you've memorized this one. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See how important the word of God is to you? You and your Bible, you need to make it a very important part of your life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, very popular verse for Bible memorization. But it does bring out the importance of you and your Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged what? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner in thoughts of the and the intents of the heart. James chapter 1. Keep going to the right there. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. How important you and the Bible are right there in that scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. What a beautiful verse of scripture after Peter gives testimony of how he saw the Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says, look, something more important than just what I give witness to is the word of God itself. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, Peter says, what I saw, I'm telling you, I saw it. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. What is it? Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's referring to your Bible. And then lastly, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Do you think it's any diabolical, devilish work for the public schools, or any school for that matter, to put out students who cannot even read intelligently or flowingly enough to be able to read the scriptures and see their need of a Savior and see their condition before a holy God of being a sinful person? They can't even read the scriptures, and they should be able to at a certain age. Isn't that a sad commentary on our country? Wow. Sometimes you can't even witness to someone by saying, here, I want to show you what it says in the Bible. They can't even read it. They don't know how to read. Thank you, Satan. You've done a great job of pulling the wool over their eyes. Here it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Okay, I guess if they can't read, just read it to them. Read it to them. Preach it to them. For and keep those things which are written there, and for the time is at hand. You know, Christian, do you have a private time with God and your Bible? You need to. How about Bible memorization? Sam and I are trying to figure out the verses for the next year, you know. And I think we're just going to do it as we go, instead of putting it into the calendar itself. And we'll give you the verse of the week before. And you know what? I'd like to see more people get involved in memorizing the scriptures. It's a very good thing for you, especially in the times that we live in. You need to know scripture. And you know what else? We need to have good preaching from the Word of God. Preaching is needed. The more we hear the preaching, the more familiar the Word of God becomes to us, and it becomes a very precious book for us. All right, well, we'll close with that, and I hope and pray that it'll be a blessing to you. You got four messages here next week. It'll be the matter of prayer, okay? Another duty, the matter of prayer. All right, let's have a word of prayer. And then I have a little announcement here. Dear God, we thank you for the things we've seen in the Word of God here tonight. And help us to go out of here loving our Bibles more than ever before. And get time alone in our Bible and with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.